Welcome to the ADA, a podcast about treating PTSD. Today we're speaking with Dr. Lori Zollner at the University of Washington Center for Anxiety and Traumatic Stress. Dr. Zollner, let me ask you the first question. What are effective treatments for PTSD?
We're actually in a very great position right now for understanding and having a number of treatment options that we know are empirically supported treatment options. And recently in the PTSD field, we spent quite a bit of time actually developing treatment guidelines and systematic reviews of what we know about our effective treatments. In brief, in terms of psychosocial treatments, there's a variety of options, usually in the realm of either a cognitive therapy or an exposure-based therapy, and also including eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, or EMDR. And that's kind of the typical classes that we see good empirical support for in terms of PTSD treatment. In terms of the medications themselves, we have FDA approval for two drugs. One is sertraline, or Zoloft is kind of the more common name, and the other is Paxil or paroxetine. And both of those have FDA indication for the treatment of PTSD, though we also have good data for some of the serotonin and the norepinephrine selective reuptake inhibitors being effective in treating PTSD. Clinicians can actually find great resources out on the web in terms of some of these systematic reviews that I was talking about. The Institute of Medicine just last year, so that would be 2007, 2008, put out a review on PTSD treatment, as did the International Society for Traumatic Stress Studies, the National Institute of Excellence in England, United Kingdom, and also Australia. And so clinicians can go on the web and actually look up PTSD treatment guidelines and get some information about kind of more specifics about what we know about these various treatment options. But we're actually in a great position in that as clinicians, we have a variety of first-line treatments that are shown to be relatively effective for a majority of individuals with chronic PTSD.
Is there a typical length of time for a course of treatment?
You know, typically what we're thinking about is we're thinking of brief treatments. And when I'm talking about a brief treatment, I'm talking about 10 to 12 weeks. And this is true both for psychotherapies and also for pharmacotherapies. And if you're thinking about what an effective treatment length is, you really should be thinking in that once a week for 10 to 12 weeks, or 10 weeks actually straight on a medication at a relatively therapeutic dose. And that's enough time for us to be able to see whether or not somebody's actually making an adequate treatment response.
Can you tell me what the patients might expect to go through in treatment?
Typically, what we're targeting in the psychotherapies very much are engagement with the things that they've been avoiding since the trauma, typically things that are non-dangerous, but yet are also very terrifying and scary for them. So what I'm talking about here is often we're thinking about folks actually approaching the memory of the trauma or the memory of the traumas if there's multiple events. And so people can be thinking about needing to come and deal with the trauma on some level, either through directly talking about it or indirectly, dealing with the things that are most distressing about the memory. Also, folks should be thinking about outside of therapy homework assignments as well. So very much going out and testing out some of the hypotheses that they might have about the world being dangerous. Again, we're talking about typically safe situations that they've been avoiding because of the trauma. And so individuals can think about not only approaching the memory, but also approaching things that they've been afraid of.
What things get in the way of a successful treatment outcome?
That's a tough question. And, you know, I think there's a variety of things that get in the way. I think one of the first things that clinicians need to be thinking about is this really the right time for somebody to be working on their PTSD symptoms? And that would be the first question I would have as a therapist. I would have the question, are they relatively stable in terms of suicidal ideation, in terms of cutting kind of behavior? if those things aren't the case, it really argues that they need to learn some skills. The client needs to learn some skills before you advance and move into PTSD treatment. As a clinician, you want to be guided by good clinical practices. And in those cases, you're actually talking about something being more primary, probably, than the PTSD. And so I think the first thing you think about is this person ready to work on their PTSD symptoms? The other place that I would think about as well, where I might not think of PTSD as primary, is when you have very severe depression or also very severe substance dependence. And in both of those cases, I think good clinical practice would actually argue that you start off treating the substance dependence, either if it's drugs or alcohol, or if they're so depressed that they're not being able to get out of bed, they're not being able to function, take care of daily life kind of things, then as a clinician, your priority, while PTSD might be the genesis of some of these symptoms, your priority really is a priority of stabilization and teaching skills to get these symptoms and these behaviors under control before you actively work on the PTSD.
So when the initial treatment option might not work, mm-hmm. there are other options.
Yes, I think as a clinician, the first thing that you need to be asking is, has this person received a sufficient dose and a sufficient duration of whatever treatment you're talking about before you think about kind of abandoning a particular treatment option? And largely what we do is we do think about that 10-week kind of period that, is the client that we're working with, are they being able to engage with the trauma memory? Are they able to do the behavioral experiments or the homework assignments that we're giving? And if they're not, the first line is actually to work with the client to help them to be better able to do those things before we abandon a treatment and look for another treatment option. And here what we're really talking about is being a detective or a problem solver with your client, helping them understand the rationale for why they're doing what they're doing, and really paying attention to what factors are getting in the way of being able to do what you're asking them to do in treatment. And it could be as simple as, I don't have a babysitter, and I just don't get the time to do these kind of things. And then you're really doing basic things, like figuring out with them how they can be able to do that. So the first things to think about are addressing any kind of things that are getting in the way of doing the treatment in the depth and in the way that it ought to be done. And there, like I said, you're talking about giving rationale to the client and problem solving about what the problems are. So then if you're really at a place that you've spent enough time, you feel like you've got a sufficient dose and a sufficient duration of treatment, then you're thinking about possibly either extending the number of sessions that you're doing. And here I'm not talking about continuing therapy for a year or doing the same thing that you're doing. I'm talking about maybe 4 to 6 more sessions, because some folks, we do know, if we keep going in the direction that we're going, just a few more sessions will help them get over the hump. If that's not the case, then you really are thinking about shifting to a different treatment option. And like I said at the beginning, there's a number of variety of treatment options. We know, for instance, that if you're on a SSRI, a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, and you've only made a partial response after 10 weeks, we know that adding exposure therapy to that, actually increases your likelihood of a better outcome. We don't have the data right now that says that combining a medication and a psychotherapy enhances outcome. Those trials actually haven't been done. That doesn't mean that it isn't a bad idea to think about to bring a medication on board, again, at a sufficient dosage and a sufficient duration. But that would be one of the things that would cross my mind. Or actually shifting treatment modality. And there as well, I would go back to the treatment guidelines that we were talking about at the very beginning, as far as great places to think about what you might actually shift to.
Are there any other suggestions you have for therapists who want to facilitate better treatment outcomes?
I think one of the things that is really important is to really have a strong clinical alliance. And what I mean by that is, particularly in working with trauma survivors, you're talking about the most scary, most difficult, most horrific events in their lives. And in fact, they often may not have talked to anyone in any depth about what those things are. And so it's very important to be prepared to go with the client to those horrific, distressing places, and to have confidence that when you're doing that, that's actually the best way to move through the trauma. That I think as clinicians, we often think almost like in an elephant in a room kind of thing, that we can just kind of dance around the trauma, but everywhere we go, we bump into it. And sometimes we're scared about asking about the tough and difficult parts about a traumatic event, but it really is the elephant in the room. And if you leave the trauma out of PTSD treatment, I think you're missing something. And so, or I think you're actually missing something very critical. And so I think, you know, it's very important to have confidence that you know that you're doing something that's got good data behind it, and confidence in working with the person that you're willing to be there with them and help them through kind of approaching these things that they've been avoiding and they're very scared of.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Zollner. This is Jean Kaplan-Tycho for ADAA.